under center here. Second down, you go. McGahee behind you. Payton throws the back shoulder fade for Decker, who goes down. Does he make the catch? Touchdown, Denver.
The Ronnie Lott Impact Player of the Week, live.
All right, talk a little football right now and the Lott Impact Player of the Week announcement. I'm joined right now by somebody that was an All-American at Stanford as a running back, also spent 11 years in the NFL with both the Vikings and the Chargers. This week's winner of the Lott Impact Award is safety Ed Reynolds. He is a senior from Orange Park, Florida. He had a team-high 12 tackles, one interception in Stanford's season-opening 34-13 victory over San Jose State. And the Lott Impact Player of the Week and the Lott Impact Award is celebrating its 10th anniversary, which is selected by a panel of national college football experts. It's going to be announced each Wednesday right here on Angels Radio AM 830 and the Pacific Club Impact Foundation, who sponsors the annual award that goes to the college defensive player who has the biggest impact on and off the field, will donate $1,000 to the General Scholarship Fund of the university with the weekly winner. And IMPACT is an acronym for Impact, Maturity, Performance, Academics, Community, and Tenacity. Darren, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Darren, let's start with this week's winner. What made you and the rest of the panelists decide to go with Stanford's Ed Reynolds?
Well, I think it's because we feel like he just had a really significant impact on the game against with Stanford versus San Jose State, you know, with 12 tackles and an interception. And, you know, he's a big influence on Stanford's football team and a great leader as well.
Darren, what made you decide to be involved with the Impact Award and the Ronnie Lott Award and be involved with, you know, I'm sure there's many different opportunities that come your way as a former All-American, as a former NFL player. What made you decide that this was the one that you wanted to be involved with?
Well, Ronnie forced me to do it, number one.
I'd say, by the way, is there any reason, number two, beyond that?
No, well, first of all, Ronnie's a hard person to say no to. You know, he's very convincing. Number two, I thought it would be interesting because I always vote on a lot of offensive things. I've never really voted on the defensive part. And since I get hit by a lot of these guys or have been hit by a lot of these guys in the past, it's pretty easy for me to tell when the defensive guy is playing really well. So I think that combination.
Darren,
not to mention, I really like the award. I really like that it's not just about the players and what they do on the field. It's also what they do off the field.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. We're speaking with Darren Nelson, former Stanford All-American. What about that? As an offensive player, as a running back, what were the guys that gave you the most trouble? The guys that you said, okay, I got to know where this guy is each and every time. Was it a big defensive lineman? Was it a linebacker? Was it somebody like Ronnie coming up from the secondary? Where was your focus when you were running the ball, trying to stay away from guys?
Well, I think most of the time it was the linebackers. I played against Mike Singletary many, many times because they were in our conference. So we faced them twice a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that he was physically imposing. It wasn't that he was that fast. He was just really smart. And he could diagnose a lot of things that we were doing. So you have to try to disguise stuff for him. So it was a challenge playing against him. But it was also a lot of fun as well because he kept me on my toes.
We're speaking with Darren Nelson, former Stanford All-American, and he's a member of the panel that selects the Lott Impact Player of the Week Award. This week's winner is Orange Park, Florida native Ed Reynolds from Stanford. What about that, Darren? As a Stanford alum, and you look at it, and Stanford is known as an academic place, and obviously they have an athletic program as well, but the Stanford football program is in uncharted territory. They're looking at a potential fourth consecutive BCS bowl bid, maybe a national championship. That's pretty heady stuff for Stanford.
You know what it is, but you know what? It's not hard to see that because I think a lot of people forget is that when you have a place like Stanford and you have a really good football team, it gets a lot of attention because, first of all, people think, well, wow, why is Stanford's football team so good? Secondly, you have such a lot of guys that I play with who have college-age kids and kids that have just graduated from college. Where would you want to send your kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to send my kids to college and I know that he has to have some kind of life after football. Where's the best place to send him right now? Well, I think Stanford would be at the top of that list for many people. As a matter of fact, that's why Barry Sanders sent his son to Stanford as opposed to Oklahoma State.
You know, you talk about life after football, Darren, and you had a life in football as well. You played 11 years in the National Football League, which is an amazing accomplishment. But when did you start to think about that? What am I going to do when I'm done playing? When do I lose my speed? I lose my quickness, my strength, whatever it might be. What am I going to do next? Was that something that you thought about while you were at Stanford? Was it in high school? Was it once you got into the NFL? When did that happen for you?
Well, believe it or not, I played 10 years. I worked in finance. I played 11 years. I worked in finance 10 years. I just worked in the off season, so I thought about mine right away. I don't know, maybe it's that Stanford and me or whether it's something that we are just constantly taught to think about. I always had an exit plan for football because football could end at any time, and I tell that to guys right now. I mean, your career could end at any time. So I actually worked in finance for this company in Minneapolis for 10 out of the 11 years I played.
Jern, do you think that somebody could do that now, or do you think that the organization, the teammates would look at it like, hey, man, you can't have a job in finance. We're trying to get ready to win. You're not giving me the full attention that I need. How can you have another job if you're a football player? Could that work now?
Well, it depends. It depends on how you show up at training camp. Now, I was always in shape, and I made it my point to be in shape, and I made as many meetings and things on the Vikings facility as possible. But you can't tell a player that you need to think about your life after football, which they constantly do, and then tell and then not let them do it. So, while I think I took a little bit of flack, but I also played with another guy named Steve Jordan and another guy named Tim Irwin. Tim was in law school, and Steve Jordan was an engineer, and they all worked in the offseason. So I had my little core group of guys, and it worked out. But I think the NFL is kind of weird in that way, is that they tell you to prepare. When you try to prepare, it's kind of held against you because they feel like, well, you're not participating like the rest of the guys do.
We're speaking with Darren Nelson. He is here on behalf of the Lot Impact Player of the Week, which is at his university, Stanford. Safety Ed Reynolds is this week's winner. The Lot Impact Player of the Week is selected by a panel of National College football experts. You talked about Mike Singletary being a very smart guy. You played for a very smart guy at Stanford with Bill Walsh. Did you understand that you were around one of the true geniuses of the sport, or was he just your coach, or could you appreciate him for who he was at the time?
I had no clue whether he was a genius or not. I mean, people talked about Bill. And remember, I had Bill post-San Francisco 49ers, so I didn't really know him that well, to tell you the truth. He recruited me to go to Stanford, but I didn't know what his background was. I'm not even sure I even looked into it. But as I went on to play professional football and watched him go on and coach the 49ers, you started to see, you know, some of the things that we did in college, the 49ers were doing, and you just realized how amazing a person he was.
You know, it's funny to hear you say that because you say, you know, I really didn't know much about him when I decided to go to Stanford. How many players do you think right now they're getting ready to make that decision to which university they're going to go play college football, think about anything other than who the head coach is and who they're going to be playing for?
Well, I would hope a lot of them do, because you're not going to an institution just to play for the head coach. You're going to an institution to get an education, you hope. And if you're a parent, you know, it's the same thing I told my son when he went to Oregon. It's like, don't come back without a diploma. I don't care how good your football part is. You're going there to get a diploma. So I think that's a huge part of it. But I didn't know a lot about Bill. And I, to tell you the truth, I think I would have went to Stanford anyway, whether he was the head coach or not.
We're speaking with Darren Nelson here on Angels Radio AM 830. You mentioned that your son goes to Oregon. How strange is it that, you know, you're a Pac-10 guy, he's a Pac-12 guy, that to see the balance of power, which traditionally was at USC or maybe up at Washington for a period of time, UCLA's had very good teams throughout the years, to now see it centered around Oregon and Stanford?
Well, it is kind of strange, especially for the Pac-10, especially when you think, or the Pac-12, when you think about it for a long time, especially when I was playing, it was USC, and it was Washington, it was UCLA, and every once in a while Stanford might make a little bit of noise, but I think it's good for the conference, to tell you the truth. And, you know, you knew that SC was going to fall off at some point because those scholarships that they had to give up were eventually going to catch up with them. But I think it's good for the conference to spread it out a little bit. I'm looking forward to seeing what Washington State does now, too, since they beat USC last week.
That is Darren Nelson. He's a former All-American at Stanford, spent 11 years in the pros with the Vikings and the Chargers, and the Pacific Club Impact Foundation sponsors the annual award, which goes to the college defensive player who has the biggest impact both on his team, on and off the field. They'll donate $1,000 to the General Scholarship Fund of that university for the weekly winner, and this week it's Stanford safety Ed Reynolds. Darren, good to talk some football with you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man.